I'm employed in the addiction field since 1991, and I'm known as assessment counselor. From there, I guess I'll start with the age of 12. I was at my mother's house. It was in the afternoon. I had to scrub the living room, and my mother would basically give me an hour and a half to 2 hours because I was a slow worker, and I dusted everything, so that's probably why I was slow. So the first spot I started was behind the couch. I pulled out the couch and went behind my scrub pail and knelt down and did my first patch. I was doing my second patch when I noticed everything went dead quiet. I couldn't even hear nothing, no birds, no cars, no traffic, nothing. So I got up and stood up on my knees and looked up, and all I remember was looking up. That was my left shoulder, and I just kept looking straight up to the ceiling. That's all I remember. I don't remember nothing after that. When I came to, I was on the other side of the living room with the broom in my left hand. And it was like balanced there. The broom wasn't touching the floor. And when I was opening my eyes, I saw my foot moving, like taking a step. And my head was slightly down. And I couldn't really remember what was happening. So I put the broom down, and I didn't know where I was at first. So I walked across the room, and I sat down in the armchair. And I was looking around the house, and I had to remember my name. And I was telling myself, my name's Joan. I'm in my mother's house. I was scrubbing. I was looking behind the couch. The couch was still pulled out. Then that's when I started realizing. I started getting scared because I knew something happened. I knew something was wrong. I got up to go to my sister's. My sister lived not too far from us, just to walk across the yard. And I knew my mother was there. She was watching TV at my sister's soap operas. And so I started walking. Everything seemed slow, really, like slow motion, like I was walking. The only thing I can describe is like molasses. Like I was walking slow. It was like I had to walk through thickness, like. And then I got outside, and I looked across the field. There's a big field in front of our house, and all the grass was yellow. And I started thinking to myself, as geez, I thought it was summer, not fall. And then I realized, I looked up, and then all the sky was yellow. Everything, it was just one color. I started getting a little bit scared, but then these little light particles or something caught my eyes. And I was standing there, and I was trying to catch those little lights in my hand. And I guess they're like little sparkles. And I would watch them, I would follow one, it would go right through my fingers, my hand. And I was really amazed at that, because I would watch it go, it hit my hand and right through. And again, my hand, when I was doing that, I was grabbing in the air at them. My hand was like, was really going slow motion when I was doing all this. And so I did that, I don't know, 5 minutes maybe longer, I don't know. And then that's when I realized again, something's happening, something's wrong. I started getting scared again. And so I started walking to my sister's house, and like again, it was seeing that same thickness, like it was slow, like I was walking like slow motion. And I finally, halfway to my sister's house, everything came back. The birds, the trees, you could hear everything again. The wind, the traffic, the color. And so I finally got to my sister's house, and I was sitting there. So my mother asked me if I was done everything. I told her no, I just had the couch, behind the couch started. And she got pretty upset, said that I should have been done. She gave me more than enough time to finish. So I figured she must have gave me 2 hours. So I know I lost 2 hours there, because that's how long she would give me to finish one room. And I went back home. I had to go back and finish. I didn't know what to tell her. I couldn't tell her something happened. She might not believe me. So I went back, but I was really cautious. I was scared. Each step I took, I made sure. The sky was still blue. I still could hear the birds. So I finally got back into the house, and then I did scrub. And I finished the room all up. My mother came home. She started cooking supper. And then after supper, I didn't eat. I was getting sick. My eyes started swelling. The clothes pretty well shut. And she took me down to the hospital. And I was diagnosed as having severe welder burns to the eyes. I had to wear patches. And I had to put some ointment and that around my eyes and that. And I had to get dark sunglasses for over a year. I mean, not dark, I had like black lens, because my eyes were really, really sensitive to light, and if I got too much light, my eyes would automatically swell again. So I had to do that for quite a while. I still wear tinted glasses today because of the light yet will still affect my eyes yet. So that's the reason why I have to get tinted sunglasses, glasses, and whatever. From there, I had nightmares for three weeks straight. The last week I had to sleep with my mother. That didn't help until she told me she was going to take me back to the hospital, and that's when the nightmares stopped. From that age on, 12 on, I guess DSP really kicked in after that happened. It was just like watching TV, knowing what was going to happen in the family, the immediate family, my mother, my brother, if they experienced something, car accidents, if they got beaten up, I was the one that got beaten up in the dreams, whatever they may be. That continued for a lot of years, right up into my late 30s. And even now today, I still have it, but they're not as bad because I probably learned how to accept them and work with them, with the dreams. So hopefully that helps in that way, to at least to handle sometimes what you see, because sometimes you can see the death of people, or you can hear death coming. Sometimes you can smell sickness in a person and everything like that. So it's hard to deal with, but because the spirituality path I follow, it helps me to pray for that person. So it makes me feel good that I am doing something for that person. So I guess I work with it that way. There's been a lot of other experiences, sightings, probably could go on here for quite a while. But lights in the sky, I've seen a lot of those, but the things that happened to me personally, I guess, is through the night. Sometimes through the day, too, I lose some hours. I remember one time, I sat down, I looked at the clock, and it was 2:15 in the afternoon. I was cleaning the house out by myself, and I don't really talk about that. There's a lot of stuff I don't say because I think maybe I just missed the time or something. And I sat down, I had a coffee, and I lit up a cigarette, and I put the cigarette out, so it takes you about, 10 minutes to smoke a cigarette, and I didn't finish my coffee, and so then I decided to go to town. I said, well, I have to go uptown and get some stuff. I said, and I looked at the clock, it was 4:00. And I said, when I sat down in the chair, it was 2:15. It only takes you 10 minutes to smoke a cigarette. I didn't finish all my coffee. So to me, it was only 10 minutes, but the clock, it was 2 hours. So I just more or less said, well, I had to go to town anyhow, so I just forgot about that time. But it's things like that happen. You can... how you figure out how you lose time, I guess, is by what you're doing. Like a cigarette doesn't take 2 hours to smoke, you know, coffee. And through the night, too, those things I can't remember, except the next day I wake up I was out all night. I just got home and went to bed and had to get up 10 minutes later. It's things like that. I had people that witnessed different things, heard things, but... I had another boarder here. She stayed here about 8 months, and Christina, and she works in the addiction field too. She's a counselor, and I came home. She was in bed probably at 9:00. I came home about 10:50 that night, and she was already sleeping. So I came in, and I'm crazy about making sure the door's locked. That's just the way I am. I'll double check and everything else. So I came in, took off my shoes, my purse, and locked the door. Then took off my coat and checked the house, and I went back to the door, shut off the light, and checked the door again, made sure it was locked. Then I went to bed, and the next morning I got up. Well, she had to yell at me 3 times, and that wasn't normal, because normally I hear her up already and get up, or she just yells, Joan, at 7, you know, and then I jump up. That morning she yelled 3 times. She had to come actually knock on my bedroom door to wake me up, and that was not normal at all. So I got up and I was staggering out of the room, like again, just like I was out all night, and I couldn't focus. I could hear chatter in my head. I had a slight headache, everything. And so I told her, I said, I'm not feeling too good. I said, but I'm going to take a shower. I said, I'll try to wake up and all that. So I did. And she said she was going to start the cars because it was winter time out. to warm them up. So she went out. I was already in the washroom taking a shower and everything. Then I came back into the kitchen, and after I was dressed, did my hair, and I was sitting here, and she was looking at me, and she started saying, "How do you feel?" So I told her, I said, "Well, I feel a little bit better now." She goes, "Do you remember anything last night?" And I says, "No, why?" And she says, "What time did you come home?" So I told her, and she goes, "Did you lock the door?" And I says, "Yes, I checked it twice." And she goes, "I know," she says, "how you are about the door." She said, "You would make sure it's locked that night." And she goes, I said, "Why?" And I guess when she went to start the cars, the door wasn't even shut. It wasn't locked. It wasn't shut. It wasn't clicked right into the thing there. I don't know what you call that. It was just pushed closed, like, but it didn't catch. And the door, when she opened it, just came right open. Eh? So somebody went out the door through the night. Yeah. So in the way the condition I looked at, like, she stayed here 8 months, and she said it was just like I was coming in off a drunk. Like, she said, "No, I came staggering out of the room, dizzy, and just totally tired, you know, and here going to bed at 10 o'clock at night, getting up 7, that's a pretty good night's sleep." Yeah. And there's been a lot of, like, incidents like that all through the nights, and I guess many of them. Yeah, I guess I'll start again. I guess when I was talking about the thing that happened to me at the age of 12, losing the time, seeing everything that was yellow and that, after that, like I said, the ESP really came in strong. It was like watching TV, premonitions, everything else, and people that will tell you, even my own brother Robert, that a lot of things I told him actually happened, occurred. One night he was drinking way up in Sault Ste. Marie, and I was sleeping at home that night, and three guys jumped on him in the house. They punched him, kicked him, and I was like, it felt like I was looking through his eyes and seeing what was going on, like I was halfway into his body. That's the only way I could describe it, and seeing through his eyes. I could feel the punches. When he started sliding down the wall, he pushed himself back up, and his mouth, they totally kicked him in the mouth and everything. His lip was cut all up. He had to put a cast over his teeth. When he got home, got him to the hospital and everything else. Another time he was in an accident, a truck, and I was outside cleaning the yard that time. It was through the day he was in an accident. The brakes failed on the vehicle, the company truck that he was working for. The brakes failed, and when the brakes failed, they went straight across this stop sign where they were supposed to stop, and then on the other side was a big ditch, like a ravine-like. And the brakes failed on the truck, and like I said, I was outside raking up the yard that afternoon. So I threw everything in the back of the truck, and I was going to take it out to the dump, all the leaves and everything. I had them all bagged. And I got into the truck. I guess at the same time my brother was going through that accident. What happened, they went down into that ravine. They got out of the truck, but gasoline started spilling, like coming into the truck. And my brother-in-law, who was driving, got stuck in the window they're trying to get out of. So my brother had to give him a good hit with his shoulder in my brother-in-law's butt to get him out of the window, like, because he was stuck in it. My brother then was on fire. Like I said, the gas leaked in the truck, and it started catching on fire inside the truck, and he started burning. Just minutes before that, he decided to put on his big coat. That's what saved him, was that big coat. The coat was on fire, and when he jumped out, like, there's still some snow on the ground. He rolled in the snow to put himself out, but by then some of his hair burnt, but not to his scalp. It was just his hair. He got out in time to put the fire out. He rolled in the snow and everything. My brother-in-law, he was going in and out. He was pretty near knocked out. And my brother started climbing up this hill, and he realized my brother-in-law was still laying by the truck, and he knew the truck was going to blow. So he went back down, and he grabbed my brother-in-law and pulled him up the hill. And they made it on top. Just when they were getting to the top of that hill, back onto the road, the truck blew up. And at that time, I was getting into my truck at home, and this happened in Timmins, and I was here in Mississauga. I was getting into my truck. I went to start it up, and I thought my truck was going to blow up. I took off running. I jumped out of the truck. The truck was still running. I took off running, like it was going to blow up, and I was scared. And then I stopped, and I said, hey, my truck isn't going to blow up. Like, what the hell's wrong with me? Am I going crazy? So I had to look at everything, and I had to go back in the truck. I was really scared, though. I'm running to the truck. I shut off the ignition, went running back real quick. Yeah, I went running. Anyways, I shut the truck off, and I went back, and I sat on the steps, and I said, what the heck's going on? Just then my phone rang, and when the phone rang, it was my other brother in Iron Bridge. They got a call that my brother was in an accident, and so I phoned, after hanging up there, I phoned my sister and asked what she heard, because that was my sister's husband that was in that accident, and she was waiting for word because the company got a hold of her. So from there, I got proof, like things like that happened, so it's not like nobody knows. A lot of people knows about the premonitions and that, and I think that they originated right from when I was 12 years old, when I was lost that time for an hour and a half to 2 hours. The other things was before I became pregnant in 1975 with my daughter. I was pregnant a year before that in 74. I went for all the tests. Everything was proven positive. I was pregnant. At the 12th week, the doctor gave me internal and everything and felt the baby, and he heard it, and he told me that, like, he heard the baby. He was using, I don't know, the stuff they use. And he recorded everything, and I was already starting to wear maternity because my stomach started developing. He told me to come back at 15 weeks. And so I was 12 weeks, and I had to go back at 15 weeks going into, well, for my fourth month pregnancy. And the night before the appointment, I knew something happened. I woke up that morning. Like, I always believed I had twin boys. And I woke up that morning, and I was like, again, I was gone all night. I didn't sleep all night, like coming back in, coming from a drunk, or coming, staying up all night and just getting home in the morning. That's how I felt. And I knew the baby was gone, the baby. So I put my hand on my stomach, and I said, oh no, they took them. That's what I thought in my head. And I laid there for a while. And then I finally got up, and my mom asked me if I was getting up. It was going on 10 o'clock. She didn't believe us. Didn't believe in us staying in bed when we were pregnant. She'd rather see us up working and, you know, moving around, getting the exercise. And so I got out of bed, and I went for my appointment that afternoon. And when I went to the appointment, the doctor again gave me an internal, and the baby was gone. He checked everything. I didn't have no miscarriage. There was no signs of blood. There was nothing. Just like I wasn't pregnant. I didn't, like, you know, I didn't have to go for anything like D&Cs or nothing, because it was like I was normal. It was just like I wasn't pregnant. He couldn't understand. He kept shaking his head, and he said, "What can I tell you?" He said, "All I know is that the baby's gone." He said, and I left from there, and I had to, you know, tell my husband I wasn't pregnant no more, and all this, and my grandmother, my mother, and all of them. Yeah, so there was nothing much that could have been said, but through the years, I've been having experiences like meeting my sons in my dreams, and I don't think it's connected because I lost them and I didn't deal with that issue or nothing. I think meeting them in dreams and through the years, like seeing them grow. And actually, when you wake up from these dreams, you know, you can still feel them in your arms, like you're still hugging them. When I first had the dream, they were small. And there was one strong one and one weak one. And the weak one I would never see because he never really grew. He only stayed about probably 4 feet and like small and like thin. And he's sickly. And the other one, though, he grew normal. He's tall. I don't know, 8 feet, maybe. Maybe taller, eight to 9 feet. And because I know when I did meet him at when he was matured, I was standing on my tiptoes trying to hug him, and I only could reach under his armpits, like, really. I couldn't get up to his shoulders. So, like I said, he's tall, and he's big, built really big. And he had jet black hair, paler skin, pale skin, like a funny pale. I can't even call it pale. His eyes are black, watery-like, a little bit slanted, but not as big. They're a little bigger than our eyes, but really no eyelids. And their eyes stick out more, like the eyeball itself sticks out a little bit more. Their nose, his face wasn't like round like ours, like in the front. You could see his features more, though, like his cheeks, but his nose was, like, smaller, and you could see the holes, like a bump, like where his nose was. His mouth was thin, but he still could, like, thin lips, and you could see that. He didn't look like the little grays. He had more features than them, like his face was more developed. But yet you could still see, like the nose was there, but not as big as, not shaped like ours. Like, I could almost say, like, a little point, not pointy, but a bump coming out with the holes in it. Like his cheeks, you could see his cheekbones. His skin was real, real smooth. You couldn't see the, our knuckles and all that, where our knuckles are, you can see all that lines and the skin and that, but his wasn't like that. His is smooth. You can't see no lines and all that on his skin. And that's all I remember of that, meeting him that time. Just a minute, there's a wedding going by. Probably if I had an artist here, I probably could draw a better picture than describing it of his face. His hair was, like I said, jet black, silky. And he hugged me too, and he told me, you know, he says, don't worry, I'm here now, I'll take care of you. I don't exactly know what that means, but that's what he indicated to me. That same night that happened, I thought, like, that was a flashback I had. It wasn't a dream. I was sitting in Eaton one evening, and that's what happened. I had a flashback, and that's what I all seen was him sitting here looking at me, standing up and saying this. It was so quick that it really shook me up. I couldn't even finish eating, and I had to sit down and go through it again. I had to try to sit down and try to understand what happened. A couple of months before I had that flashback, though, I had a boarder here. She and my daughter were here, and I got up that morning at 6, and again, like, getting ready for work, because there's three women in the house, we all had to make sure we all had our time in the washroom. So I get up at 6, and I would start, I would take a shower, get dressed, do my hair, and then, wake up the boarder. I'd knock on her door. She'd get up, go in the washroom, do the same thing, you know, shower, change, do her hair and all that. Then she'd wake up my daughter. My daughter would get up at 7, and she would do the same thing because she was going to high school. She had to catch the bus and that. So I was sitting here at 6:30. And I could hear my boarder. She got up and she came in here, and she looked at me. She goes, "Who was here last night?" And I says, "Nobody." She goes, "Yeah, there was somebody here." She says, "I heard you talking last night." She said, "You and sound like two men." And I says, "No." She said, "Yeah, at one point," she said, "you were talking. You all burst out laughing." She said, "So I thought, well, there's Joan in there again, entertaining, you know." So she said she went back to sleep. She was going to get up, but she figured, well, she went right back to sleep, you know. My daughter, same thing. When my daughter Kate got up, she asked the same thing. She asked me who was here, and I told her nobody. But she heard the same thing the boarder heard. She said, the boarder turned around and looked at her. She said, "Well, what did you hear last night?" And Karen goes, "Well, I heard my mom talk," and she goes, saying something. Then everybody started laughing. She said the two guys were really deep, deep, low voices. That's how they described them. And I didn't remember nothing. I told him again that the only thing I remembered from that night was I heard the radio clock alarm go off in the kitchen, a big beeping noise, and I woke up and I said, "Oh shit, somebody must have hit that alarm button by accident because the alarm goes off automatic at 12. So I got up, and my digital clock in the bedroom read 12:10. And so when I got up and came into the kitchen, I walked over to the radio clock, and I shut it off, the alarm off, and I turned around and walking back down the hallway, and that's when I looked at the clock on the wall here, and the clock said 10 after 4. So when I was shutting off the lights, and I said 10 after 4, I said, how can I was 10 after 12 in the bedroom. I was trying to figure out, but I was so tired, I couldn't even stay up to try to figure it out. I went right back to bed and fell right back to sleep. And so when I got up at 6 that morning, I checked both clocks to make sure that they were on time. And I thought, well, maybe one stopped or something. And both clocks were the same time that morning. So I knew, all I knew was I lost 4 hours that night. Like, I got up to shut off the alarm clock, and to me, I turned around and went back to bed, but it was 4 o'clock when I went back to bed. To me, it didn't seem like that. It seems like I just shut off the clock, turned around, went back to bed. I asked them if they heard the alarm clock that night, and both of them said no. So they didn't hear no alarm clock. The beep, and I don't know, maybe that was just a way to get me into the kitchen. I don't know. I can't, like I said, I can't remember except for the flashback I had. There's been a lot of incidents that way, coming through the night and visiting me. Some nights, you know, I wake up in the mornings and I just can't think straight. It seems like there's a lot of chatter in my head, a lot of movement. Like, I just feel like my head full like that, where you can't put another thought in because there's so much chattering in your head going on. My husband, when he used to stay here, he would remember me leaving through the night. Me getting up and going, and I would come back, he said it would be daybreak, and he would ask me, where'd you go? And I would tell him I didn't go no place, because I wouldn't remember. I don't sleepwalk. I know, I thought maybe I did, and I stay in bed. I don't have no history of that. I guess seeing UFOs, there's been many through the years, back in the 70s, 80s, and but the one that really sticks out in my mind is the one that happened here behind my house, June 12th, 1996, and it was me and my daughter and her friend, and I went to bingo that night, and I got back to the house here about 10 to 10. So when I came in, my daughter and her friend were playing Nintendo. They don't. My daughter doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, and the other girl, like she drank, but she wasn't drinking that night. Like, she was there playing Nintendo. And then about 12 o'clock, she decided to stay at the house. So I was going to drive her up the hill to get her pajamas and change of clothes for the next day. She lived not far from here, and so I got in the car first. I was waiting for the girls to come out, and I got in the car first, and behind my house was like a big diamond shape. Well, it wasn't a star. You know it wasn't a star because it was too big and hanging too low in the sky, and I knew it was something, but it wasn't moving. It was just sitting there. So my daughter and her friend got in the car, and my daughter saw it, and she goes, what is that? I says, I don't know. She says, is that the same thing we seen in April? This one was a lot closer than the one we seen in April. I told her, I says, I think so. Then the girl started yelling, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? So she came in the front. She goes, holy geez, what is that? And I says, well, I don't know. So we're just ready to back out, and the light moved. So we stopped the car, and we shut off the car, got out, and went behind the house. And we watched it. We watched this big diamond-shaped thing moving. You could see it would move from one end of the horizon to the next, and up and down and that. And so I told my daughter, go in the house and call my friend in the Blind River to see if she could see it from Blind River, because it was in the Blind River area, like over that way, direction. And so she phoned, well, my daughter was in the house, me and this other girl was standing outside still watching the lights, and four of the small lights came from it. Now, that big light, the diamond-shaped one, stayed the diamond shape with different colors blinking, but it went smaller after these lights came off it. And these four lights were like bluish-green, and they were round, and that's how they looked. They looked like bluish-green, they glowed. And if you ever see bingo balls in a machine, that's how they went. They went. They did circles, they went up, they went down, they went sideways. And then at one point, they all stopped. They all looked like they lined up, but some was a little higher and some were lower, but they all came to a stop in a line like that. There was two that was a little bit higher than the rest. And all of a sudden, they all went straight up, right out of sight. And I thought, oh, and we said, oh, geez, they're gone. And about 10 seconds later, they came right back in the same order. Then they started flying all over the place again. And there were still no dogs and nothing barking because, like I said, that was back at the horizon here. And they weren't that close yet. So when the big one started coming along the tree line alongside of my house here, and two of those little ones followed it for a period of time, they stopped and they went back to behind the house here in that horizon, and they started flying all around there again. But the big one continued along the tree line alongside the house, and then it stopped and it started cutting across my house to behind the house. And you could see, like, the lights underneath it, because it was fairly low. You could see all the lights, but nothing. It was dark in the middle, but all the lights outside of it, you could see them all flashing and everything. By then, the girls, they flipped, my daughter and her friend flipped. They went diving in the car. They were screaming for me to get in the car because by then it was pretty near over me. And I wanted to wait, but the girls were too scared, so I jumped in the car too. And I started up the car. I was ready to put it in reverse, and the whole car died. Nothing. Like, I even got daylights, and they went out. And the whole car just shut right down. So then that's when we noticed the dogs were barking and the cats, like I got two wild cats, they were screaming their heads off, and the girls even said, what the hell's wrong with the animals? Like, you know, they were getting pretty scared then. And so I started the car back up, but it kicked. So I was hoping nothing was wrong with the car, because when I started, it just gave a jerk, it kicked back in. So I finally started pulling out, and I did leave. We went to her house, and like I said, we were pretty shooken up. We were a little bit scared. I guess because it was so close, it came so close, and that's something that you cannot explain. You can't say it was an airplane. Like, if it was far away, you could put it off. Okay, another light in the sky, but this was really close, something we couldn't explain. So but that was about the one that I really seen that I believe, like, they're here. Maybe they probably always been here, but now they want us to know that they are, and maybe they have to bring them themselves in slow like this, just to get people to be aware that we're not alone. I guess that's the way I see it. From there, I guess I still have the ESP. I don't like to call it that. I guess maybe I like looking at it now, that if I do see something or feel something, it gives me the opportunity to pray for that person, or to pray for whatever is happening for a positive outcome. And if that person's going to go, to help them to go to the spirit world a lot easier. It's hard living like this, because it's like, you know, this place here, this world, you can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it. You can watch your plants grow, you can cook. It's when you start connecting with the unknown that really shatters you. You're like living two worlds then. You know that there is an unknown, and then you know that this place here, because you can see it. Just because we can't see them all the time doesn't mean they're not there. I guess we have to believe in that more, because we can't see them every day, and we only see them or dream of them. Well, I don't think dream. I think we meet them in that dream state. They take us for a while. I hope one day, before I die anyhow, that they will be known to the humans. Boy, I think I started preaching there. No. I would like to, probably the other incident I really remember good one night was, I've seen myself getting back in the bed. Like, you know how you get in bed? And then, what happened, it just felt like I got back in bed. I knew I just crawled back in bed. And then I woke up in bed, and I told myself, I just got in bed. Where did I go? And I remember that night really clear. And all I said was, oh no, they were back again. And so that's what happened. They were back again. Just from the way I woke up the next morning, I was, again, just totally exhausted. I had another boarder here, too. I had two boarders here. And again, she's one of my good friends. She works with us again, too. And she's a counselor there, addiction counselor. And she knows how I am about my doors. I do everything to keep my doors locked. But sometimes I used to even lock myself out through the day. My mother used to laugh at me all the time. I had to go over. I kept a spare key at my mother's because I knew I locked myself out. It was just a bad habit. I walk out the door, I lock the door and lock myself out. And everybody used to tease me about that. So I came home one night. My daughter was already in bed. She's an older woman. She's about 47. And she was already in bed. And I came home about 9:30. And I came in, took off my purse, my belt, my shoes, took off my coat. And when I first came in, I turned on the light and locked the door. So I checked the house over, went to the washroom, came back out, and went to shut off the kitchen light, and I made sure the door was locked again. I walked to the door and checked it, and I said, okay, door's locked, light's out, and I went right to bed. So next morning, my boarder, normally she doesn't have to yell at me or nothing to wake me up. Normally I'm awake, or she may just yell at me, Joan, 7, you know, from the kitchen. And so she used to get up about 5:45 every morning. She was an early bird, sometimes 5:30, so she would just keep quiet all morning till 7. She'd yell at me, or I'd get up before 7. So then that morning, though, she yelled, Joan, at 7, she didn't hear nothing. So she walked halfway down the hallway, she yelled again. I still didn't hear nothing. So she finally came to my bedroom door and she knocked. And she peeked her head in and she goes, Joan, she said, it's 7. So I finally woke up. I said, oh, okay. But oh my, it was just like walking in from the night before again, just like you didn't sleep. You just got home. You were just getting into bed. And I was just, I couldn't even pull myself out of bed. I laid there a few minutes and I got up, you know, just dizzy and coming out of bed and slight headache. And so I came right in the kitchen. I sat down because she had a coffee there for me. And I went to the washroom first and came out. And then I sat in the kitchen here and I had a sip of coffee, lit a cigarette, and she looked at me. She goes, holy geez, what the hell's wrong with you this morning? I says, oh, God, I don't know. I said, so I went to bed early, too. I was in bed before 10, I said. And I said, oh, my goodness, I couldn't even open my eyes. They were just dropping on me how tired I was. So I told her I was going right into the shower and trying to wake up, eh? So she said, well, that's good. She said, I'll go out and start the car, she said, and make sure they're nice and warm before we go to work because it was winter time. So she went out. While I went to the shower, I took a shower, and I went to my bedroom, I changed and everything, went back in the bathroom, did my hair, and I came back out, and she was sitting there, and I joined her again for a coffee, eh? And then I sat down, she started asking me, she said, how did you sleep last night? I said, well, I slept good, I said. She goes, you remember nothing? I says, no, why? She goes, oh. She says, when I went out to start the cars this morning, she said the door was open, like it wasn't just unlocked, the door was open, it wasn't shut right in, and it was just pushed just enough to keep the door shut, but it wasn't the knob and all that didn't click in. She said, I went to open the door. She said, the door just pulled open. She said, I didn't have to turn the knob. She said, it wasn't even shut. I says, no. She goes, did you lock the doors last night? I said, yeah. I remember that. I said, I checked the door twice. She goes, well, I know you would have locked the door. She said, I know how you are about the doors. She said, you sure you don't remember nothing last night? And I said, no. I says, I don't remember nothing. She says, because that's the first time she's ever seen you come out of your bedroom. She said, like that. She said, you looked awful this morning, pale and drained. And I said, well, I felt awful. So she figured something went wrong. She believes, too, with the Star Nation, and that she believes in them. And she basically said, she said, well, you must have had another visit, she said. And we left it at that. Like a lot of little things that has happened, I don't really make note of it, or I don't think about it. One day I lost, 2 hours here in my kitchen. It was 2:15. I sat down, like I was cleaning and doing what I would normally do, and then I sat down for a cigarette and I had my coffee, and I lit the cigarette and I finished it, put it out, and I wasn't done drinking my coffee, and I said, geez, I have to go to town now and pick up something. And so when I went to get up and I checked the time again, it was 4. Now, I couldn't believe that because I know when I sat down, it was 2:15. And I had my cigarette. I put it out and I had my part of my coffee. And then when I got up, I figured I sat there maybe 15 minutes. That's how much time I was aware of. But when I actually got back off that chair, it was 2 hours. And I couldn't believe it. I did go uptown. I went and did my shopping. That was after 4 then. And I didn't know what happened. Like, that's 2 hours. Like, you know, you don't sit there and smoke one cigarette for 2 hours. And that's all I remember. I remember lighting my cigarette, smoking it, putting it out, having some of my coffee, then getting up, going uptown to the store. But 2 hours had passed. And the clock was right. I checked the clock to make sure. I checked the clock in my car when I got in there, and it was the same time as in the house, so I know I lost another 2 hours. I don't know how I did that. Like, I don't even remember nothing. All I remember was sitting down and putting my cigarette out and leaving. A lot of things like that has happened. Like, you can't smoke one cigarette for 2 hours, you know. It's things like that. I do have some marks on me, on each side of my hip. That started back in October of 95. Again, I woke up in that state again in the morning, trying to wake up, and I finally got out of bed, took a shower, and when I was taking a shower, that's when each side of my hip started getting itchy. So when I got out of the shower, I tried to look. I couldn't really see it that good, but I knew there was something there. I could see, like, I got a smaller mirror and looked and could see there was something there. So I went right into work, and I called in my two friends to check my hips. And they said on each side of the hip there was 3 small circles with pinholes in the middle, and there was still blood showing from that. And I couldn't believe it. I could see them, like, after I got to work and that, I twisted and I finally saw, you know, where these marks were. That was probably amazing in itself. They disappeared, and took about 2 months before they actually went away. And then what happened, though, when my hips went like that, the next day, like, after my friends looked at my hips, the next day after that, both sides, each side of my arm, same thing happened. I had 2 circles on each side of my arm up by my shoulders, and they were the same thing, itchy and red, blotchy. So I got them to look at that too. And like I said, all those marks, like each side of my arms by my shoulders and on my hips, they went away probably in December. So I didn't think nothing of it no longer. I thought, well, maybe I had a rash or something. You know, you try to explain it away. So in March of 96, the same thing happened. I woke up one morning again and again in the same state and took a shower, and the same thing came out again, my hips and same marks. This time I went to the doctor and showed him the marks, and he didn't know what it was. He couldn't explain it. He didn't know. He gave me cream for the itch, but that was about it. He told me there was nothing he could give me because he didn't know what it was, and he couldn't believe that there was 2 identical marks on each side of my hip and in the same place. He couldn't believe it. So he asked me, he said, well, what do you think it is? I said, well, maybe I was taken. I told him. I started laughing. He's been my doctor for a while. And he said, don't you say that. He says, I watch X-Files. And he started laughing. So I left it at that, but what he gave me didn't really work. They eventually went away, but I still got marks there, scars. Like, they turned red and itchy after that, and I looked like I had another layer of skin there. And just now and then they bother me now. They get itchy. Like when I take showers or something, or if I'm out doing a lot of yard work and sweating, they'll get itchy. So that's about the scars I got. I do have other marks on my body that can't be explained. I guess I can go ahead and show Mike. because they are where you can look. And with that, I think I'm pretty near at the end of this tape.